Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The first day of pads in Steelers training camp is in the books, but we talk about the highlights, specifically a showdown again from Joey Porter Jr. and George Pickens, that and what both sides of the ball, offense and defense, did when it was time to get physical. We've got Jerry Dulac on the show today. It's the North Shore Drive podcast with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as well as our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday shows of the North Shore Drive podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your new home than Pella, who could help you save money on your energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation by calling them at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Like I said before, we have Jerry Dulac, one of our most esteemed beat writers on the paper. He's been covering the Steelers for a long time. Jerry, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Yeah, Chris, it has been a long time. People ask me all the time, how long is it? And I just tell them, 25 plus.
There you go. They don't need the details there.
That's right.
But Jerry, you've seen plenty of first day of pads and practice. It's always a very exciting day to kind of get rid of the football and shorts mentality. But it seemed like this young Steelers team was raring to go. And especially, even though these aren't the guys you think about hitting too much, George Pickens and Joey Porter Jr., I've seen these guys yapping at each other all through camp since they've arrived. When they've matched up, there's been some barking back and forth, and they had some more barking to do on Tuesday. You had seven shots where the defense won, and Joey Porter Jr. did a decent job on Pickens, and they kind of yell at each other. And then in one-on-ones, Joey Porter Jr. just gets completely mossed by George Pickens in a highlight that's been all over Twitter, and everyone's talked about it, and George Pickens was celebrating it a little bit. But you see this rivalry kind of brewing, and everyone thinks of that classic phrase that's always said in football, iron sharpens iron. What's been your perspective on how you've watched that rivalry grow in just a week and a half here so far?
Well, Chris, I think the one thing that I've noticed about Joey Porter, aside from the obvious and his measurables, is the fact that he does not back down for a young guy. You know, he's not in there causing the issue, but he doesn't back down from one. And I'm sure that's some of his dad in him. You know, his dad was more of an instigator, and maybe Joey will be going forward. I don't think so, but I think he has that competitiveness and that toughness and that confidence that, you know, he goes out there with, you know, a little bit of a swagger, not too much cockiness, but just the right amount. And, he doesn't back down. And even on that catch by George Pickens, Joey Porter Jr. had fantastic coverage on him. I mean, he was blanketing him, and there's nothing he could do, to the point that I don't know that a lot of people saw this, but even after that catch, Joey Porter smiled at Pickens. And I know they were jawing a little bit, but I think that was almost good-naturedly. I don't take any of this to be antagonistic.
Right.
But, you know, and then later on in practice, we saw Joey Porter high point a pass and make an interception along the sideline, something he didn't do a lot of at Penn State, as we all know. So I like what I see with Joey Porter. And like I said, it's that attitude he brings that he's not going to back down, even though this is only 2 weeks into training camp.
I agree entirely. He has a very matured sense when he's spoken with us about just how practice has gone. And in fact, here's a clip of him talking about George Pickens and that play and giving him credit and being like, yeah, he got me. And that's kind of what we're here to do, is to test each other. Listen, everybody, to Joey Porter Jr. when he was talking about not just practice, but also his rivalry with George Pickens.
So you've had some battles with George. What have those battles been like? And how would you describe the back and forth there?
It's been great. Iron sharpen iron. We had a good little one-on-one. He caught some crazy stuff down there. Don't know how he caught it, but it's great. You know, we always going to talk here and there, but we're teammates at the end of the day. We're just working.
How hard is it to keep your cool in those one-on-ones?
It's not too hard, because at the end of the day, we know we're teammates, but we want the best at each other. So we're going to talk. We're going to do a little extra here and there, but it's never going to get past that point. Like Coach said, we know we're a professional team, not an MMA team. So we're just going to keep it like that.
How does that catch that George made? You know, obviously one-handed grab. He made a similar one last season. As a cornerback, what do you kind of tell yourself after a play when a receiver makes a catch like that?
Next play. That's all you can say, next play. I mean, he got a crazy catch. That's what he do for a living. I feel like I got him at the line. It was perfect for him on my part. But, you know, when you got a freak athlete you're going against, you got to expect those kind of plays to happen. You just got to brush it off, next play mentality.
Was it a legit catch, or did he get away with a little something?
I don't even know. I haven't watched the film. I just felt bro on my shoulder. I'm like, where'd the ball go? And then he came down with it. So it was crazy. Definitely crazy.
When you're coming off the field, what kind of things is Patrick saying to you? Is he helping you like almost like after every set, or is he letting you kind of like have your own space at times?
He let me have my own space, but we talk before practice on what we're trying to work on, what we're doing. So he'll tell me a little something like, remember what we talked about before practice, just so I can have that reminder going on the field to look what I'm working for.
So, Jerry, we see a little bit of what you're talking about there. He's able to give credit to George Pickens. He doesn't seem sour about the play. Sure, he wants to make the play. He's talking about, you know, I was looking for the ball and it was gone. But I think that there is a little bit of a maturity there. You covered Joey Porter Sr. when he played for the Steelers. So you got to see the fire that he brought. I think it's interesting to see Joey Porter Jr. show that fire on the field. But like he kind of told us at the combine, he can turn it off at the times that he needs to.
Yeah, and Joe, his dad was that way too. You know, he was a little bit more intense and a little bit more of a yapper on the field. And hey, maybe Joey will become that, you know, going forward. I don't think so, because it's hard to match his dad's intensity and trash talking, that's for sure. But Joe would, you know, he would turn it off after that. You know, he was intense, he was animated, but, you know, he could, you know, during the week and after the game, he could kind of break down what was going on and talk about it without getting, I don't want to say too emotional, because that's what fueled who he was. But I always liked Joe, his dad, because you could talk to him about what was going on that field, and he wasn't afraid to tell you what he saw, what happened, and what the other guy did or what he did. And he got a little bit of that from his son, even yesterday. And I've been very impressed with young Joe from the time I talked to him at training camp. You know, I didn't cover him at Penn State, obviously. But I've been impressed with how he handles himself and comports himself both on and off the field.
I'm impressed as well. He seems like he's handling himself. And also, you know, this is a guy who, as a kid, he literally grew up around the facility at training camp. He was around the team the whole time. He could be coming in here saying like, hey, I'm naturally, I remember this place. And he's not taking anything for granted. And I think that's another sign of the maturity that he brings. But Jerry, I want to talk to you more about other players you're impressed with. We saw the pads go on. We saw some backs on backers. We saw some full team run defense versus run offense. I want to talk about that in a minute. We'll do that on the next segment here on the North Shore Drive podcast. But first, let's talk about our great sponsors at Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. When you need new windows or new doors installed in your home in the city of Pittsburgh and around it, there's no better place to go to than Pella, because they'll help you save costs on energy costs year round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh and find the right product for your home and budget by giving them a call at 866-593-1560, and they'll discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're joined by Jerry Dulac here today. Jerry, you wrote about how the defense wants to be truly elite this year. Not just very good, but can they meet the Mike Tomlin's expectations, and dominate in 2023? The defense was pretty good in 2022, but you've been talking with players like Cam Hayward and other players on the defense about what they need to get better at. What's the biggest thing that you think that they're focusing on for this season to be an elite unit?
You know, Chris, when I talked to those guys, my point kind of to them was somewhat just that, and that was, okay, last year they all talked. First of all, Mike Tomlin, I think in a bit of hyperbole, said he expects the defense to be great and dominant. I think he was the only person who thought that. Now, again, he may have been challenging them when he says that. He says everything for a reason. There's a method to his madness. But I'm not sure anybody believed they can attain that level. Certainly I didn't, and they didn't. But one of the things they talked about, all the players, yeah, that's fine, but in order to be that, we have to stop the run better. Chris, they were last in the league in 2021. Mm-hmm. Gave up 145 yards a game, gave up 5 yards per carry. No team in the league allowed 5 yards per carry. I think they had 3 200-yard games and another 199-yard game. And so until you can shut down the run, I remember James Ferrier telling me years ago, he said, if we want to stop the run, we'll stop the run. I'm not sure that Steeler defense from 2021, they could adopt that mentality, but it certainly wouldn't show that they could just go stop the run. So I thought they made big strides in that area, allowing only 108 yards per game, like 38 yards fewer than what they did there. You know, they rose from last in the league to ninth in the league. So their objective was obtained, and they increased their interceptions. They tied for the league lead with 20, mm-hmm. but their sacks dropped off, the pressure dropped off. And you, despite the interceptions, the big plays off turnovers, that's what makes a defense great. A defense that can, produce 4 or 5 touchdowns. Turn those turnovers into scores. And so to me, that's what's missing, the consistency. I think as long as they've had this revolving door at inside linebacker, that's what's going to hold them back. And their secondary's been good. You know, when they had Steve Nelson and Joe Hayden, they had two very good corners. Haven't had that since. I think they think they are headed in that direction with Joey Porter Jr. You know, I don't want to say they had high hopes for Corey Trice, because with a 7th-round pick, you're rolling the dice and keeping your fingers.
Right.
But this was a big physical corner, 6'3", 215, Joey Porter, 6'2", 195. You know, the days of the small corners are gone. I talked to Patrick Peterson about that when he came into the league. You know, the 5'8", 5'9 cover corners were still in vogue. Not so much anymore because of these big receivers. And so I think the Steelers really, based on what they saw with Corey Trice, you know, this is a guy with measurables, a big guy who runs a 4.4, and yet he slips to the 7th round. So I think they were had some hope for him, but of course we saw him get carted off the field. Yeah. He's still not hurt officially, but it looked like a serious lower leg injury. You could tell by his body language. It was very upsetting to him. Not going to sit here and say it was an ACL, because I don't know, but he reacted as though it was something like that. And that will be disappointing to them, but they'll move forward. But I think the ability to turn, to make scoring plays on defense, they got to get back to sacking the quarterback, something they did, of course, better than any team in NFL history for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the big things. I think the turnovers, making big plays off the turnovers, have to be more consistent in the middle of that second level of that defense.
I agree. And kind of it all kind of goes hand in hand, right? Like, you don't get to make more plays on to create turnovers without stopping the run in the first place, because you need to force your opposing offenses to be in more desperate situations where your pass rush can pin their ears back. They can get after the quarterback. They would force the quarterback to make riskier throws, which leads to more interceptions. And I think a part of the run defense being better is also the linebacker play, because it was very bad in 2021. It was only a little bit better in 2022, but they went out and basically cleaned house. You know, gone is Devin Bush, gone is Robert Spillane, gone is Miles Jack. They've got Cole Holcomb, they've got a Landon Roberts, and they just added Quan Alexander. And I'll also say Mark Robinson looks like he's learned a little bit. What's been your impression of how these new linebackers have looked so far in camp and how they'll contribute this year?
Well, I'll tell you what I saw yesterday. You have, of those four that you mentioned, you have three very physical players who like to hit. And we know Quan Alexander does, because we have seen that his past. Landon Roberts just, blew up. Now, I know it was a guy they just signed, John Lovett, but I mean, he just blew him up. But that's the way he likes to play. And we know Mark Robinson, he never met a collision he didn't like. Right? So he has that, he has that Kendrell Bell mentality, see the ball, go get the ball. And that's what he does. Now, he has to learn some of the other nuances that go with being an inside backer in the defense. Right. But he has that mentality and that explosiveness as a former running back. So that's what I saw from those guys, and that's what I like. And I like Cole Holcomb. Now, we'll have to see him in games. Right. But I like what he is able to bring to that defense, and so especially on the interior. But, you know, Chris, as long as you're going to play a 34 defense, and as long as you play 75% of the time in sub-package defense, you're going to have a hard time stopping the run. When you're a 4-3 defense, it's a little easier. You protect your inside linebacker better. So those guys in a 34 or in so much sub-package, they better be able to handle blocks and get off them. And that is the secret to stopping the run. But with that type of defense, it makes it more difficult. So when you think that they were ninth in the league playing so much sub-package football, you know, against the run, it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, if that continues. Because, again, it was just the first day in pads. We got to see how stuff continues, who else gets injured. Because, like you said, Corey Trice went down. I think Landon Roberts had a little banged up a little bit after the day, but it wasn't anything serious. But as time goes on, it's going to come down to depth. How well can the guys behind the starters also fill in at different positions and be there? And I think it's also important to talk about that for the defensive line. Because whereas the linebackers got to get used to dealing with some traffic from offensive line, the defensive line also has to do their best to help keep them clean. And I think we saw a little bit of good stuff there from guys like Keanu Benton, who are trying to be among the group that's behind Cam Hayward and Larry Ogunjobi, your two prime guys that'll lead the middle of the defensive line. What have you seen from Benton and some of the other guys like DeMarvin Leal, who are going to fill in behind those two guys?
Well, DeMarvin Leal has a chance, you know, in that 3-4 front to be that third guy. He is very athletic. When they drafted him, they said he's going to have to get bigger. I don't think people realize, Chris, he played at 310 pounds last year. He added weight last year. And when I look at him, he still, you know, he has a, maybe it looks like he still has a little junk in the trunk, if you will. I mean, he's a little thicker on his backside, but he's still extremely athletic. He's freakishly athletic for a guy that big. And they really liked DeMarvin Leal. I have to admit, I was a little disappointed, because I could tell you the coaches wanted to see several guys in the one-on-ones. And one of them is they wanted to see Keanu Benton. They wanted to see a Nick Herbig. They wanted to see Darnell Washington. We know what he did. And they wanted to see Broderick Jones. But, you know, I saw nothing from Keanu Benton. And I say that not as disparagingly as just I thought I would see a little bit more in the one-on-ones. But he's not the explosive type of lineman that DeMarvin Leal can be. Isaiah Loudermilk in those one-on-ones looked very good. Larry Ogunjobi got stuffed twice by James Daniel. It was surprising. I mean, actually got tossed aside. I know it's one day and it's one drill. But they like Keanu Benton. And I'll be curious to see. You know, he's more of a run stuffer than a sack guy, obviously. And they're not expecting him to be a sack guy. And I'm sure as camp goes on, the pads run, he'll stand out a little bit more. But yesterday, for one day, I'm not going to say I wasn't impressed, because that's not the case. I just didn't see him stand out when I thought he might, like Darnell Washington did, even like Nick Herbig did. and even like Broderick Jones did.
Yeah, I'll say Nick Herbig, he has stood out almost every day in camp with in some way. And at first I was like, the pads aren't on. It's not going to be that big a deal. And then when the pads were on, I was like, oh, no, he's still making noise out there. So another defensive player who's making impressions out there early on in camp. I want to talk about the offense. We'll do that in just a second here because Darnell Washington and Broderick Jones. It's funny. We're talking about a lot of Georgia guys here. George Pickens, Jones Washington, all those guys on that team that keeps winning college football games. They're making headlines here at Steelers training camp. We'll talk about the offensive side of that in just a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here today with Jerry Dulac. But first, I want to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at GameTime.co. Where buying tickets for your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the favorite sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. They give you killer deals on last-minute tickets, and they have their best price guarantee that can't be beat so that you can stop stressing over the tickets that you just bought and start getting hyped for the fun that you're about to have. You can download the Game Time app to your phone right now and book tickets even at the up to the last minute for an event that you didn't plan far out in advance enough. And even if it's something that you just saw was out there for an event you really wanted to go to, they'll help you find exclusive flash deals on anything from football games to basketball games, baseball, comedy, concerts, theater events, anything near you. Game Time is going to help you find. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less at the same event somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase. Or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Jerry Dulac. Jerry, we'll get to Broderick Jones in a second, but I want to talk about Darnell Washington real quick because Mike Tomlin called him out in Backs on Backers. He said, 8-0, anytime I see 9-0, meaning TJ Watt, I want to see you over here. And sure enough, Darnell Washington went over there, and he was right there with TJ Watt. The first rep, I'd say he won it. The second rep, you could say he maybe sort of held a little bit, but he, against the Steelers' best pass rusher and against maybe still the best edge rusher in football, he was holding his own and looking pretty strong there. Now, granted, he lost the rep to Alex Highsmith, and Nick Herbig also put a move on him. And Darnell Washington had kind of looked kind of not so great when the pads weren't on because as a route runner and such, but he looked very strong in that moment. And I got to say, even though I knew that blocking was his forte, Jerry, I was surprised to see how good he looked.
Yeah. And those first two, you know, negating TJ Watt both times. Now I will say this, TJ Watt obviously is an elite player. He's an all pro player. I don't think on his first snap in, back on backers that he is going to come with everything he has. I'm not saying he was dogging it or taking it easy, but I think it's kind of like Alex Highsmith when I was watching the lineman against the offensive lineman versus the defensive lineman. And I think it was Broderick Jones went against Alex Highsmith. And the first time he kind of negated him and stuffed him. And the second time you could tell Alex Highsmith was going to come with a little bit more. And he did. And I think that's kind of what it was with TJ Watt. I expected him maybe on his second rep to come with a little bit more energy, but I just think it was part of the drill. And, you know, I'm not saying TJ took it easy. All that being said, it was a very impressive showing by Darnell Washington yesterday. And, you know, that was his rep in college. You know, I think that guy has the opportunity to make this draft a home run, to be able to trade down in the third round, to get back in the fourth round, to get a solid backup in what they believe in Nick Herbig, and then still get Darnell Washington. I think I think between their moves in the draft and who they got, I think Darnell Washington has a chance to make that draft a home run.
I think he certainly does. But let's talk about the top of that draft. That was Broderick Jones, a big step in their attempts here to rebuild an offensive line that could be truly dominant. What did you see out of Broderick in his first day in pads? Because I thought he's looked like he's had a good head on his shoulders in the first few practices. He looked like he was in position, wasn't committing penalties, and he was looking solid. And I didn't get to watch all of his one-on-one reps. I only got to see a few of them. But between that and the times he was in 11-on-11s, I thought he looked extremely comfortable for a rookie going up against one of the more talented defensive fronts in football.
Yeah, I'd like to see his footwork against some speed rushers.
Mm.
But I tell you, when he engages somebody, they're not moving him backward too much. And, you know, he is a big man who is a strong man. And, yeah, when he engages a guy, they have a tough time getting rid of him. And that's what I saw yesterday. That's what we've seen in camp, and that's what I saw in the one-on-one. So I did not see him really get beat on any of the defensive linemen. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think the guy overlooked in here is Dan Moore. I think Dan Moore has looked very good. And, you know, he looks like he's kind of he looks more fit. He looks a little bigger. He looks a little stronger. You know, looks like he reshaped his body a little bit. And, you know, I've never had a huge problem with Dan Moore. I know he committed some penalties and he got beat here and there. But again, you're talking about a first and second year guy. But they brought Broderick Jones in for a reason, Chris, and it wasn't to lead the band at halftime. So you draft a guy, number one, just like Kenny Pickett. Eventually, he's going to be the starter. You don't draft him to be a swing tackle or a backup. Eventually, I don't know when that is, but eventually he will be the starter.
You kind of beat me to the point there. I was going to ask you that next. When do you think that happens? But I agree. It's going to be a thing that gradually happens over time. Pat Meyer said it during OTAs. Like, we didn't trade up to draft that guy just for him to sit on the bench all season. And I agree. Dan Moore Jr. looks solid. And that's the thing. I think people have complained about the offensive line for the general. You know, they haven't been able to run block too well, to open up too many holes in recent years. Obviously, the offensive line has taken a step back from where it was in the prime days of Pouncey, DeCastro, Marcus Gilbert, Ramon Foster, Villanueva, those guys. But they're kind of, I think this is their first real step. Last year, they kind of started to figure out late in the season. But with the additions of Cole and Daniels last year, the maturation of 4-4, Dan Moore getting better. But now you have Broderick Jones you've drafted, and Isaac Seumalo, who I also thought looked really good yesterday in pads. It was tough to really evaluate the offensive line before the pads went on. But Jerry, they were able to run the ball a little bit on the Steelers defense. In seven shots, their first two plays were handoffs to Najee Harris up the middle, and he got two touchdowns on seven shots on those attempts. And then throughout the 11-on-11 practices, you saw both him and Jaylen Warren have space to run. Are you impressed by what you see out of this offensive line in just the early days of training camp?
Well, I'm certainly more impressed at what I'm seeing from the offensive line this year at this point in time than I was last year at this point
right.
in time, because there were great concerns. And, you know, when they came out in seven shots, I don't think it was no small coincidence that they ran the ball three straight times. I mean, you just don't see that a lot in the seven shots drill. And I think I'm not sitting here going to say they were trying to make a statement, but I think it's reflective of what they want to do this year. Yeah, Isaac Seumalo, I think, is a stud. I was talking to Mitch Trubisky yesterday after practice, and he was telling me, he says, that guy's quiet and all business in the huddle. And he just goes out and he takes care of business. I mean, he's a bit of a mauler, but he's really good technically. And so that is a big upgrade for them. And, you know, the three guys you mentioned before, Pouncey, DeCastro, and Marcus Gilbert, you think about it, Chris, those are two number ones and a number two.
Yeah.
And then you look at that offensive line last year, you're not exactly loaded with number ones and number twos. It's really a lot of mid-round picks, if you will, third round and lower.
Yeah.
And that's to Pat Meyer's credit. I thought what he was able to do, change them from basically a power running team to a finesse team, from a man blocking team to a zone blocking team. And it took them a while. But what we saw at the end of the year, there's no question they were the most improved unit on the team. And we know that they've started the same five guys all year. I think four guys never missed a snap. Mason Cole missed about 16 snaps. And we heard Mike Tomlin say in the draft, you know, it's foolish to think that they were going to get away with that again,
right,
which is why they made the moves they did. But when you bring in two guards and then you draft a left in free agency and then draft a left tackle, number one, that was Andy Weidel's quiet stated mission. When I talked to one of the Philadelphia Eagles front office people who worked with Andy, they said what he'll want to do is build the lines of scrimmage. And you look at it, and that's what he did. And so I think there's a lot of energy, positive energy, in terms of what they think they have with that offensive line. Now, I'm not going to proclaim them the best unit in football, but by the second half of last year, they were, you can make the case they probably were as good, just about as any offensive line in the league when you look at the way they were able to run the ball, especially where they came from early in the year.
I agree. It was a stark turnaround just to show the contrast of where they were in the early part of the season to where they were at the end of the season when Najee Harris had more space to run. We'll talk more about this run game later on in training camp as we continue to see more parts of that. But I'd be remiss if I did not ask you about your thoughts on Kenny Pickett and how he's looked to start camp. We even saw a little bit of play action start to get called a little bit yesterday when the pads went on. And I don't know about you, Jerry. Kenny looks a lot different compared to his rookie year. He looks like he's more poised, more composed. He understands where he's going. And you're seeing the real steps, at least in training camp, of a guy who knows his offense, has a better relationship with the players he's working with, and real progress to what this offense might be able to do in the 2023 season.
And I think the fact that he's getting the reps with the number one offense, which he didn't last year. Oh, on occasion he did, mm-hmm. but now he gets all of them, and he gets more of them. And, you know, it's his second year. And so, you know, his comfort level with the playbook is night and day. I think it helps Matt Canada having the same quarterback for the second year in a row. Kenny Pickett, not that he was looking over his shoulder, but there's no competition. He's the established number one, no matter what happens. And so I think from a confidence level, you know, now you're the guy. And so if you make a bad throw, oh, well, I don't have to worry about my status. It's kind of, you come back and make it right the next time. And I think that's what you see with Kenny Pickett is I think you see the confidence, knowing he's the guy and just the way he comports himself. But, you know, Kenny always had that quality anyhow. You could tell he's kind of a natural leader. He's very comfortable in that role, and that's half the battle. You know, I think the one thing that I have noticed about him is his arm strength, and I think he wants to show it off a little bit. And by that, I mean, I don't mean to go out there and showboat with it. I just mean I see him trying to really gun a lot of passes over the middle. Now, Chris, I didn't watch him a lot in college. I don't know if he did that a lot, but I noticed that a lot more now. And maybe that's because of his arm strength. But again, it's training camp. And until we see him in games, you know, it's his second go round. But as I always remind people, it's also the second go round for defensive coordinators in the division and around the league who now study Kenny Pickett, study his tendencies, what he likes to do, what he can't do very well. And so, you know, it's the second time for them as well to prepare for Kenny Pickett.
Absolutely. It's going to be a major challenge for him this year to adjust to their adjustments as that happens. But that's part of what we'll be studying here all throughout the season on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's Jerry Dulac, our top Steelers beat writer here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you, Jerry, for joining us here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. You can get all our work at post-gazette.com, all our written work there. But you can find all of our podcasts, including training camp updates from Jerry himself, as well as Brian and Ray, on our podcasting channel and on our YouTube page. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel for all of the daily content from training camp and from all things Pittsburgh sports, and as well as the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. We'll be back Friday talking with Brian Batko, getting you ready for Friday Night Lights practice here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For 6 months of digital access to post-gazette.com for just $6, click the link down below in the description.